Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
I got to start off talking about a subject I usually don't bring up in polite company. Former President Lalla Kaluda. And here's it. Naturally, we all want to forget about that guy. Since the day he went out and lied about the election on November 5th, okay? Since that day, I try not to say his name. We don't show his name on air. I don't do my impression. Because haven't you suffered enough? But there are times when you just have to slap yourself in the face, put a little cold water on the back of your neck, bear down on the bite stick, and remind yourself just how bad it was by repeating out loud the simple fact, Donald Trump is a fascist.
It's the song I hate. It's the song.
Donald Trump is a fascist. And that's not just me. That's not just me flapping my gums. That's Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Mark Milley. In a new book, Milley reveals that following the election night, he thought the ex-president was stoking unrest, possibly in hopes of an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act and call out the military, saying, "This is a Reichstag moment."
Dictator? What does a dictator do? A dictator? Why, he makes love to beautiful women, drinks champagne, enjoys life, and never works. He makes speeches to the people, promising them plenty, gives them nothing, then takes everything. That's a dictator.
A parasite. That's for me.
We'll take the job. What do we do? First, you start a beer putsch.
How? You put your beer down and wait for the pretzels.
No. You go to the saloons and you buy free beer for all the saloonatics. Then you march them to the palace and force the king to abdicate. That makes you dictator. Hail, hail, dictator!
Hail, hail, wahoo!
Of course, the Reichstag fire was in 1930s Germany when an attack on the country's legislative branch was used as a pretext to solidify fascist control. What the MAGA crowd did this year was totally different because it was in English. Milley says that he was alerted that the former president and his allies were trying to overturn the government by a call from an old friend. The friend also sent a text, "The orange eggplant is a not Z clown. We are in deep doo-doo." Now, the general...
Great use of emojis.
Now, the general was confident the coup attempt would fail, telling aides, "They may try, but they're not going to succeed. You can't do this without the military. You can't do this without the CIA and the FBI. We're the guys with the guns." General, that is not as reassuring as you think. Man, I remind you, this is America. We're all the guys with the guns. I don't own any guns, and I think I do. But it is refreshing that our country was saved because, for once, the CIA didn't want to destabilize a democracy. Milley didn't relax after the January 6th insurrection was thwarted. In the run-up to Biden's inauguration, he wanted the military to lock down Washington, D.C., telling his troops, "Here's the deal, guys. These guys are Nazis. They're Boogaloo boys. They're Proud Boys. These are the same people we fought in World War II.
There's a great and a bloody fight round this whole world tonight. In the battle of bombs and shrapnel rain, Hitler told the world around he would tear our Union down. But our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. And our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain in the middle of the sky. Could see every farm and every town. I could see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down. When I think of the men and the ships going down while the Russians fight on across the Don. There's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down. But when I think of the ships and the men going down and the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down.
Clearly, the former president didn't like the tea that Millie spilly, because earlier today, the ex-pres released a statement declaring, "I'm not into coups," adding, "If I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would want to do with is General Mark Milley."
According to a new book, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, was worried that former President Trump would try to incite a coup after losing the 2020 election. We really need to come up with a better early warning system than tell-all books. We're in danger. Quick, get me a typewriter.
Donald Trump is a fascist. The FBI is still tracking down all the brown shirts who left the brown stains on the Capitol on January 6th. And I'll tell you all about it in tonight's seditionist roundup roundup.
I can't four-stomach these idiots.
Cows have four stomachs. First up, we all remember this guy photographed hanging from the Senate balcony. He's like Spider-Man if he got bitten by a radioactive idiot. Turns out, he's Iowa resident Josiah Colt, seen here preparing to audition for the Musketeers. Colt appeared in court yesterday where prosecutors explained how he and his buddies came to D.C. strapped to the teeth with a Glock 43 pistol, two magazines of ammunition, a handheld taser stun gun, knives, gas mask, body armor, an expandable baton, walkie-talkies, and bear mace. They brought bear mace to a Stop the Steal rally? What do they think was being stolen? A picnic basket?
Hey, boo-boo. Okay. Hey, little buddy. Hey, boo.
Hey, Yogi. Hey, Yogi. Let's storm the Capitol.
It's like a lot of these dinguses. Colt seemed confused about where he was on January 6th, even though he was spelunking down the side of the Senate. He apparently believed he was in the House. The judge asked him, "You sat in the presiding officer's chair, which you mistakenly thought was Speaker Nancy Pelosi's chair. Is that an accurate summary?" Colt said, "Yes." So he had no idea where he was. For his next heist, he's going to break into the vault at Joseph A. Bank. Steal one suit, get a second suit free. A couple of days, Joseph Bank is a deal. They make quality.
Yeah, nice
quality menswear.
Nice tailor. You get your tailor together.
This is me touching the White House. This is why we're here.
Look at your faces.
I am at the White House. Just so you know.
A couple of days before the insurrection, one of Colt's dumb friends posted this photo of Colt in bed with a gun, to which Colt commented, "Ready for any battle," with the crying, laughing emoji. When the judge asked him about it, Colt said, "The picture posted was actually a joke. It was kind of like a funny joke." As a professional in the biz we call show, you know what we call something that's kind of like a funny joke? Not a funny joke. Here's a better joke for Mr. Colt. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's the FBI. You're going to jail. Not every insurrectionist on January 6th was a lone wolf. For some, it was in the gene pool, like five members of one Texas family who were arrested for the Capitol attack. Evidently, January 6th was take your kid to Hang Mike Pence Day. The family was caught on Capitol surveillance cameras. There's the dad, Tom Munn, his wife, Dawn, and three of his adult children, Josh, Christy, and Kaylee. Tough to get caught like that, but at least they have this year's Christmas card. Treason's greetings. Donald Trump is a fascist.
Politico reported that Trump is having trouble selling advance tickets for his upcoming speaking tour with conservative pundit Bill O'Reilly. So far, the pace of purchases has been slow compared to other acts, arena officials say. In Orlando, where the duo is hosting an event at the 20,000-capacity Amway Center on December 12th, a box office employee for the arena said, there's still a lot of tickets open. The person added, we have concerts that are doing a lot better than this. I'm sure they do. First of all, it's in Orlando. There's a wealth of theme parks. Why go to a Trump-O'Reilly history tour when you can learn more about U.S. history at the Hall of Presidents or even Space Mountain? Hell, even SeaWorld would probably be a better use of your time. Either way, you're gonna be in a splash zone. Who the hell wants to go see a so-called history tour with a disgraced former cable news host and a man who was just quoted as having said, I think it would be hard if George Washington came back from the dead and he chose Abraham Lincoln as his vice president. I think it would have been very hard for them to beat me.
Now, of course, that all goes out the window if they're riding a T-Rex. If Washington and Lincoln are in the same ticket riding a T-Rex, I'm worried about my chances.
A history tour of Trump is like the opposite of a Ken Burns documentary. Let's remember, Trump thought Frederick Douglass was still alive and thought the Civil War happened for no reason, saying, and this is his exact quote, people don't ask that question, but why was there a civil war? Yeah, why don't people ask that question more? For years, people have just shrugged off the Civil War. I remember when we got to a history class and my teacher said, the Civil War was like so random. Now, apparently that report touched a nerve because in response, O'Reilly threatened to sue the Politico reporter. O'Reilly said it was bullshit that ticket sales for Orlando have been lackluster, but when asked how many tickets had been sold at the venue, he said he didn't know. I don't have that information, he said. I do grosses. I'm not the ticket counter. O'Reilly threatened to sue the reporter, saying, you put one word in there that's not true, I'll sue your ass off, and you can quote me on that. It's nice to know O'Reilly hasn't chilled out even a little bit, given all that time to relax after he was canned. I guess part of me thought when you get forced out and publicly disgraced the way O'Reilly did, you might take up yoga or meditation, although even if he did, he'd probably still do it angrily. Now let's move into child's pose and everyone say your mantra, Bill. Do you have a mantra yet?
Thing sucks!
Maybe you should try Pilates. You have a Pilates energy. Now, we should say the shows are in December, so they have plenty of time and could very well end up selling out. Who knows? But so far, it's not going great. The website Media pulled up the seating map for the Orlando show. And let's just say there were still a lot of seats left as of Friday morning. Yikes. We have more people in our audience, and we don't have an audience. But it makes sense that ticket sales are slow, because even the people who go see Trump don't want a history lecture. They want him to get up on stage and say crazy about celebrities he met in 1982.
Steve Guttenberg, met him at Studio 54, nice guy. Hated my guts, Police Academy. Remember the guy who made the sounds? Whoosh, beep, beep, zing. It was like the chainsaw was in the room. Lawnmowers. Couldn't he do lawnmowers? You bet he could. We love the funny sounds, don't we, folks?
We live in a society of laws. Why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy movies? For fun? Well, I didn't hear anybody laughing, did you? Except at that guy who made sound effects. Hog, hog.
Yet another associate of former President Trump has been arrested. This time, it was the former chair of his inaugural committee, Tom Barrack, who was accused of illegally using his connections and access to Trump to lobby on behalf of a foreign government. Every day, it seems like we get new details about alleged crimes involving Trump's cabinet officials or his business associates or his friends. Some of them are investigations we didn't even know about. It's like a game of Clue where every answer is correct. Was it Professor Plum in the ballroom with the dagger? It was. How about Miss Scarlet in the kitchen with the lead pipe? Her too. Okay, what about Rudy in the billiard room with the candlestick to the nuts? Yep, every time. For example, we learned this week that an inspector general found that Trump Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross lied to Congress about the census and presented those findings to the Trump Justice Department, but Trump's DOJ declined to prosecute him. And then there's Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. A week ago, we found out that a banker who arranged millions in loans to Manafort was found guilty of trying to use those loans to secure a job in the Trump campaign and administration.
It took a federal jury less than 2 hours to reach a guilty verdict in the case of former Federal Savings Bank executive Stephen Calk.
He was accused of pushing risky loans through for former Donald Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort in exchange for a high-level position in the administration. Calk got Manafort $16 million worth of loans from the bank despite concerns from board members over their high levels of risk. Manafort then recommended Calk for an open undersecretary of the Army position.
Look, I'm sure this sort of bullshit happens all the time in D.C., and more people should be prosecuted for it. But my God, Trump and his cronies were so brazen about it. The Trump operation was such a toxic criminal enterprise that even people who are just tangentially related to him are getting thrown in jail now. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they get his Disney robot for using a shell company to dodge taxes. Don't look surprised. You know what you did. Calk apparently got a job on the Trump campaign by loaning Manafort millions despite his checkered financial past. And when Trump won, he actually wrote down a list of jobs he would want in a Trump administration.
Stephen Calk was convicted for giving Paul Manafort $16 million in questionable bank loans in 2016 and 2017. After Calk's first multi-million dollar loan to Manafort, Manafort put him on the Trump campaign's Economic Advisory Council. Prosecutors said Stephen Calk repeatedly ignored financial red flags in Manafort's loan applications because he desperately wanted to be Secretary of the Army and thought that's how he could get it. He listed in ranked order his favored, quote, perspective roles in the new administration. His number one choice was Secretary of the Army. If not that, he'd take, you know, Secretary of Commerce, Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, 18 preferred ambassadorships, everything from the UK to the Vatican to Singapore.
I guess if you're the kind of guy who ignores red flags, you're also the kind of guy who writes down a list of the quos you would like in return for your quids. Yeah, send a copy of this to Manafort, Trump, and the FBI. Is that dumb? Also, total aside here, but if you're a corrupt banker paying for a job in the administration, why would you want Secretary of the Army over Ambassador to the Vatican? I mean, the Secretary of the Army has actual stuff to do. I'm pretty sure the Ambassador to the Vatican just gets to hang out in Rome, drinking Aperol spritzes and dodging Vespas on cobblestone streets. Every now and then, you run into the Pope, and he says, I'm from Argentina. I don't talk like this. Of course, Calk wasn't the only Trump goon to write down incriminating material when prosecutors indicted Trump Organization's CFO Alan Weisselberg for alleged tax fraud earlier this month. It turned out they kept internal spreadsheets detailing the scheme. For example, according to the indictment, Weisselberg caused the Trump Corporation to issue corporate checks made payable to a Trump Organization employee who cashed the checks and received cash. The cash was given to Weisselberg for his personal use. The Trump Corporation booked this cash as holiday entertainment but maintained internal spreadsheets showing the cash to be part of Weisselberg's employee compensation. The dead giveaway there is that Trump would never pay for holiday entertainment. On Christmas, he would sit there with Eric and Don Jr. and watch The Grinch on TV. Why can't you idiots be more like this guy? Then yesterday, we got news about the arrest of yet another longtime Trump associate, Tom Barrack, who was an advisor to Trump's campaign and the chair of his inaugural committee, which, incidentally, is also under investigation, unrelated to these new charges.
Tom Barrack, the chairman of Trump's 2017 inaugural committee, has been arrested on a host of charges, including illegally lobbying for the United Arab Emirates, obstructing justice, and making false statements to federal agents. The Washington Post reports federal prosecutors say Barrack capitalized on his friendship with and access to Trump and other high-ranking government officials and his relationship with U.S. journalists to advance the policy goals of a foreign government without disclosing their true alliances.
So one of Trump's closest confidants and advisors was secretly using his access and connection to Trump to lobby the campaign and the administration as an unregistered agent of a foreign government. That means various Trump associates were either lobbying for or connected to Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, Qatar, and the UAE, among others. That place was like the Epcot World Showcase of corruption. This was supposed to be the America First campaign, the new working class GOP. Instead, It was all a bunch of millionaire lobbyists, bankers, consultants, and private equity titans working for foreign countries. The so-called America First campaign was a bigger scam than Subway tuna. I'm not saying it's not tuna. All I know is last week, I found a wishbone in my footlong, and then I pulled it apart and wished for real tuna. Now, we already knew part of this story, thanks to an investigation by the House Oversight Committee during the Trump presidency, which found that Barrick had submitted drafts of a 2016 America First energy speech to the UAE for edits. He took a speech with America First in the title and submitted it to a foreign government for approval. That's like finding out the cop who did the DARE presentation at your high school snorted some fat rails off a cafeteria tray to get hyped up. Woo! Who's ready to learn about how bad drugs are? Wait, sorry, my friend Pablo Escobar did a rewrite on that. Who's ready to find out how bad drugs aren't? And according to the indictment released yesterday, Barrick, a longtime Trump friend, used that friendship to get language inserted into the then-candidate's energy speech in 2016 about the importance of working with our Gulf allies at the behest of Emirati officials. So thanks to Barrick, the UAE basically hired Trump to do a cameo for them.
UAE, it's Donald Trump, and I hear you have a birthday coming up.
But Barrick succeeded, as you can see from this clip of the speech in 2016, which was supposed to be about American energy independence and the so-called America First energy policy. Weirdly, there was a line out of nowhere where Trump seemed to backtrack and say, actually, we'll keep buying oil from Gulf states like the UAE.
We will become and stay totally independent of any need to import energy from the OPEC cartel or any nations hostile to our interests. Anybody hostile to our interests, believe me, we don't deal with them. We'll handle them just fine. Just fine. And by the way, there are plenty of them out there that are hostile to our interests. At the same time, we'll work with our Gulf allies to develop a positive energy relationship as part of our anti-terrorism strategy.
He makes it so easy for prosecutors. You can literally see the moment where he riffs off the cuff and then goes back to the line Barrick wrote for him. He totally contradicts himself.
Those Gulf states, they hate us, don't they, folks? Mark my words, we will never work with them ever. Those Gulf states can kiss my ass. At the same time, we will work with our Gulf allies because they love us and we love them. And remember, they do have a birthday coming up.
The Trump campaign and presidency were one big criminal enterprise, a toxic cesspool of corruption and self-enrichment. And clearly, there's still so much more we need to find out. Among many other things, it proves once again that the new, supposedly populist working-class America First Republican Party is a total scam. In reality, it's just a bunch of wealthy oligarchs conning voters while they serve foreign interests and rake in millions. Every time we find out about yet another Trump corruption scheme, it's like taking a kick right to the
caulk. Donald Trump is a fascist.
Preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.